The sermon text for this morning from today's gospel reading, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Thus far the words of our text. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So today we find Jesus taking an illustration from the earth, everyday life. The folks around him would have seen things like sheep and shepherds quite commonly, so he grabs an illustration from that everyday experience. It's probably much like us speaking of farming. Even though most of us don't farm, we can recognize, you know, things from a farm. Tractors, diskers, combines. Planters, elevators, my personal favorite, the batwing mower. All these things, you know, we can kind of recognize and grasp what somebody's talking about when they begin to speak of it. In the same way, Jesus' students are acquainted with some of the issues of taking care of a flock. They know the issues around it. They're associated with it. They've observed it, things of that nature. Now, the teaching of Jesus, in this teaching, he doesn't identify the problems that the sheep encounters. He says the sheep need a shepherd. He doesn't say why they need a shepherd, but the sheep's penchant for inattention, the sheep's penchant for wandering off, and their decided need of security and protection is simply implied by what Jesus says, as if such things are common knowledge, right? It's kind of, I imagine it's kind of like baptism, right? In early church, it was common to baptize children, so they didn't write about it a lot. Everybody just knew, this is what you do. You baptize children. It wasn't until much later in the church's history that somebody said, why are we doing that? That's a whole different discussion for another day. But you get the picture. Things that are common and commonly understood, there's not a whole lot of need to write them down. So Jesus doesn't mention them because people are aware of these things. Jesus then goes on to lay out his qualifications to be our shepherd so that we will obey his invitation to follow me. Who is Jesus as shepherd? Okay, that's a fair question. That's a good question. He's good. He's good. He knows the sheep by name, and he's so familiar with the sheep recognize him and they recognize his voice. In addition, Jesus is the one who will put his life between the sheep and the dangers that they face and the dangers that threaten him. He is the one who will die for the sheep. Christ has no ulterior motives. His relationship with his flock is based on pure and perfect selflessness. Jesus gains nothing in laying down his life for the flock. Well, let's just say it. Jesus is the good shepherd. We are the sheep. We are the flock. If he didn't die for us, he wouldn't cease to exist. There's nothing that we have that he needs. The list could go on and on and on, but the point is, Jesus does what he does out of selfless love for us. This is way different than the non-shepherd or the hired man who would abandon the flock at the first sign of danger. Now, who is the hireling? The hireling could be false religions or those who promote wrong-headed theological ideas. The point being that these false shepherds do not protect. They do not save. And in some instances, these non-shepherds are quick to abandon the flock. And they are quite dangerous to the flock itself. The good shepherd has the means and the ability to protect the flock from the dangers that are embodied in the wolf. These dangers are the various spiritual dangers that we are faced with every day. The Christians who are in the world are under assault by the devil, the wolf, so to speak. Surrounding us are the dangers of Satan. The dangers of Satan's wily ways. He's not simply a mischievous trickster, but he's a ravenous wolf, seeking whom he may devour. He will draw the sheep away by the allurements of the secular world. He will get us to be blinded to our own sins and our own things that we're doing. We can certainly find out what other people are doing, but he blinds us to what we're doing that is sinful and helps us or causes us to not see that. Right? He draws us away from the true teaching by false religious leadership and wrong-headed doctrines. All of these are formidable foes, which you and I can't fend off by ourselves. If left to our own devices, we would falter and we would fail. But we need the protection of the Good Shepherd, and this is what he says that he does. But just who is the Good Shepherd? Well, you know who the Good Shepherd is. He's Jesus of Nazareth. You look at the book of Acts, and the man who, by whose name do you do these things? By the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Well, the question still is out there. Who then is this Jesus of Nazareth? He is the wisdom and he is the Word of God. He is the one who is active at creation. He is not only the caretaker of the sheep, he is the creator of the sheep. This relationship gives Jesus the authority to say and do the things that he does. And this relationship with the sheep is based on Jesus' relationship with the Father. Jesus is true God, and he is also true man. He is the only Son of the Father. He is the Word of creation who was made flesh for us. He is God of God, light of light, very God of very God. He is our shepherd. He is our protector. He is our defender. Jesus himself also tells his disciples, he says, I have other sheep that are not of this flock. The flock, sheep that he will bring in. It is true that the Jewish people, the descendants of Abraham, are the family through whom God chose to bring the Messiah. But they are not the only people to be saved. It is more important to be Abraham's descendant by faith than it is to be Abraham's descendant by blood. Look at Jesus' human lineage. Look at the things Jesus did. He did not exclude the non-Jewish people from his teaching. Some of the first people to show up after the shepherds, you know, that are recorded for us, are the wise men from the east. These non-Jewish people, these Gentiles, come to worship at the feet of Jesus. And this lets us know, it lets us know that Jesus is for Gentile people also, and that's you and I. We are the people of the other flock. We are the sheep of the other flock. Jesus has come for us also. Jesus is the Savior over all people. He atoned for the sins of all people. Not just some people, but all people. Jesus fulfilled the law, not just for a few, but for all people. Jesus dies not for just a one or two or ten or a thousand or 100,000 people, but he dies for all people. And we are a part of all people. That's you. That's me. That's all of us who are alive today. Jesus died for us also. And we look to Jesus, our good shepherd, for the certainty of our salvation. We trust in Jesus. We trust in what he has done for us on our behalf. Jesus fulfilled the mission that his Father sent him to accomplish. He who is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father is the author of our salvation. The Father sent the Son to accomplish the very things which we ourselves could not accomplish. Our shepherd is true God, able to keep the whole will and law of God for us in our place, to be able to die for us and rise again, thus defeating the forces of evil arrayed against us. He is also true man, who is able to completely and totally suffer the pains of separation from the Heavenly Father for us and in our place. He is really suffering the weight of sin, to experience in his flesh the penalty of hell and separation from God, so that you and I don't have to suffer those penalties when we trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins and life everlasting. So perhaps the Good Shepherd laying down his life for the sheep should evoke more for us than simple dying. But laying down his life for the sheep should also encompass the idea of eternal death. The good shepherd died not only for the sheep, but he also suffered separation from the Father for us. Jesus' confrontation with death really is different than our death. Death overcomes us, but Jesus gave his life over into death. He gave himself up to death. Once we die, we cannot resurrect ourselves, but Christ, being God in the flesh, has the power to rise again. Now we see why the good shepherd of the sheep is so bold to protect the sheep. He has the power of life in and of himself. In light of this, our confidence in Jesus is made sure. Jesus is the good shepherd of the sheep. He is devoted to us. He places himself between us and all of our enemies. He rescues us. He brings us back to life. And so the text has come full circle. The text begins with the shepherd who is brave even to the point of death. And it ends with Christ laying down his life for us only to take it up again. That is the confidence of the Easter message. Jesus laid down his life. Jesus took up his life again. Jesus is the name above all names. Here is our message. Here is what we preach and proclaim today. Here is what I want you to walk out the door with and take home with you for the rest of the week. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. In that Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.